Hello and welcome to the Claire O'Sullivan podcast. This podcast aims to inspire every person to live a happier, healthier and more fulfilling life and to bring you the right information on how to do so. Thank you to everybody for listening to the podcast. If you are enjoying it, please hit subscribe and drop us a review. Now let's dive into the next episode. Hello everyone, I hope you are doing well. Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of the podcast. We've been getting some really nice feedback on the podcast lately, so I really appreciate that. And let us know what you think. Drop us a message on Instagram. I'm at @ClaireO'Sullivan_coaching over there. Or drop us a review or hit follow if you're enjoying the podcast, because honestly, we really appreciate it, really appreciate the feedback, and we're really enjoying recording the episodes as well. Today is a solo episode, and today I'm talking all about a question I've been getting asked a lot lately in my DMs, and I've been wanting to record this podcast for a while. So something I get asked so commonly is, why is my weight loss so slow? I thought I'd lose weight much faster, people say, when they're embarking on a weight loss journey, or they're remembering back to a previous time when they lost weight a lot faster. And there's a lot of reasons that impact your rate of weight loss, and we're going to talk through those today so that you can be a bit more informed, and so that you're not constantly questioning yourself, doubting yourself, wondering, are you doing something wrong, and thinking, oh sure, should I give up altogether, if you're on a weight loss journey. So I suppose weight loss, it can feel slow for a lot of reasons. And I suppose just to remind ourselves, in order for weight loss to occur, first thing is we need to be in a calorie deficit. We have to consume less calories than we burn on a consistent basis. Being in a calorie deficit then forces your body to use stored fat for energy, which means we're burning the fat that we've stored for energy, which causes us to lose body fat over time. However, creating a significant calorie deficit, like significant enough for rapid weight loss, that can be difficult, it can be unsustainable, it can be unhealthy. And sometimes when people lose a lot of weight fast, first thing is that if that's in the real initial stages, if they've dropped their carbohydrate intake, a lot of that initial weight loss might actually be just water loss. They might be seeing a big drop on the scales, therefore weight is going down. That does not mean that body fat is going down. Your weight on the scales does not just measure the amount of body fat you're either gaining or losing. It also measures how much water is in your body at any given time. So if you drop your calories and drop your carbohydrate intake a lot, then you're going to see a drop in water in your body initially as well, which can make you think, oh, I've lost 5 pounds in the first week, but actually maybe you've lost 2 pounds of body fat and 3 pounds of water. And sometimes people equate that to fat loss and think, oh, I'm burning fat so quickly when I do this really restrictive diet. But actually, they're not realizing that some of it's water. But that said, some people go on into very significant calorie deficits if they're following something like some sort of a fad diet. They might be consuming like 800 or 1,000 calories a day, which could put you into quite a big calorie deficit, which can be great for seeing large weight loss initially. However, most people can't sustain that. It's not going to be very healthy because you're not going to be eating very much food, not going to be eating very much protein, probably, like, depending on the person, maybe not having all the nutrients that you need, maybe not having many nutrients at all, depending on your food choices. So while people can lose a nice bit of weight initially, most or a lot of people won't be able to sustain that rate of weight loss. And like, most people will give up on that and then go back to their normal way of eating and gain weight back quite quickly because they haven't done it in a way that's actually sustainable. A decent rate of weight loss For most people, it's going to be about 1 to 2 pounds per week, where you're not going super low calorie and feeling miserable. If you're very overweight, you will lose weight faster than someone who doesn't have an awful lot of weight to lose. So that's just something to be mindful. But like, on average, if you're losing 1 to 2 pounds a week, you're doing pretty well. You're not going super low calorie to do that. You're feeling like it's a bit more sustainable, and you're like, for the most part, you're probably doing it in a healthier way. So next thing we need to consider when you're on a weight loss journey is that there is going to be some metabolic adaptation. What that means is that your metabolic rate, it's going to downregulate a bit as you lose weight, simply because when you're carrying around more body weight, it costs more energy to carry around that body weight. When you lose some body weight, when you lose some body fat, it costs less energy to move your body around the place. Like, let's just take, for example, if you were to carry around a 20 kg weight on your back, and you're to carry that around with you all day long, like when you get up out of bed, when you go down the stairs, when you go up the stairs, when you get up off your chair every time, versus you're not carrying that 20 kg weight around. You're burning more calories when you carry the weight around than when you don't carry the weight around. And this happens when we drop weight or body fat over time. It costs us less energy to move our bodies around the place, to exercise our bodies, which means that the calorie deficit that you had at the start of your weight loss journey, that deficit is going to decrease as you lose weight, and that could potentially slow down your rate of weight loss, unless you adjust your calorie intake to suit that metabolic adaptation, or unless you increase your physical activity to increase your output. So that's another thing that can impact things as someone progresses on a weight loss journey. Next thing we need to consider is muscle gain. So if you are someone who's including resistance training or strength training as part of your exercise routine, then if you are progressively gaining muscle, so if you're progressively overloading your muscles to stimulate them to grow and increase in size, then you could be gaining muscle while losing body fat. So if you're gaining muscle, which is lean tissue, while losing body fat, then like, muscle is denser than fat. It weighs more than fat, even though it takes up less space than fat. Your weight loss, it might not be as apparent on the scale, just because, let's say over the course of a month, let's say you lose 5 pounds of body fat over the course of a month, and let's say you gain 1 pound of muscle. There's going to be a net difference on the scales. You've got 1 pound gained. Let's say you start off at, let's say, 200 pounds. And let's say you gained 1 pound of muscle, bringing you up to 201 pounds. And let's say you lost 5 pounds of body fat. So your net is going to be 196. And you might think that, oh, that's a little bit, like, I thought I'd lose a little bit more. But actually, like, you've lost 5 pounds of body fat and you've gained 1 pound of muscle, just that it's not showing as much on the scales. But that's why it's important to have other metrics for success outside of the scales. You should be looking at how you feel in your clothes. You could be looking at body measurements. You could be looking at progress photos. You could also be just looking at how you're feeling in the gym, how your strength training is going, how that side of things is progressing. Once we've considered muscle gain, next thing we want to consider is water weight fluctuations. Your body's water weight can fluctuate significantly, and some people will fluctuate more than others. And this is due to a lot of different factors. Stress is a factor that can impact your body's water retention. Your digestion is a factor that can impact your body's water weight. Your diet can impact it, your exercise can impact it. Your digestion is also something that's just going to impact the number on the scales. If your digestion's slow and your bowels haven't moved, you're going to weigh more on the scales. If you're digestion is fine, then it's not going to be impacted as much. Hormonal changes are going to impact the number on the scales. They're going to impact your water weight fluctuations. Your menstrual cycle is going to impact your water weight fluctuations. So it can seem like weight loss is stalling sometimes, when in reality, you might just be experiencing a temporary change in water retention. You might just be holding on to a bit more water, and you could get really caught up in the scales when actually in 2 days' time, when you're not holding on to as much water, that thing is going to be moving. So that's why it's so important not to get caught up in day-to-day or even week-to-week changes in the scales. It's important to zoom out, have a better perspective, and be able to look at what is happening over time here. How are things trending over time? Next thing we want to consider is the psychological factors. So sometimes we can have expectations that weight loss is going to happen very quickly. And this can be fueled by fad diets or by things we see in the media. On the cover of a magazine, you might see how I lost 20 pounds in a week. And it can make us think that those things are realistic or those things are healthy. And it can make us seem like a gradual rate of weight loss is a bit of a fail. And we feel like it's inadequate. We feel like, oh, like 1 pound a week is way too slow. When in fact, if you were to lose 1 pound a week every week, in the end of 12 weeks, you've 12 pounds down, it's almost a stone. If you were to lose 2 pounds a week, that's 24 pounds. Like 1 to 2 pounds is a really decent rate of weight loss for most people. But because of maybe what our friends are doing, or because of what Sheila at work is doing, or because of what we've seen in a magazine, our expectations are often unrealistic. And maybe in the past, we did some sort of diet and, oh, we lost like 5 pounds in the first week. But actually, we're not remembering that 3 pounds of that was water, and that actually I felt a bit miserable and I was on very low calories. So we need to check in with our expectations and make sure they're actually realistic. Next thing we need to consider is that we can plateau on our weight loss journey. So the body can adapt to our weight loss over time, and leading to where like weight loss actually slows down or it can stop. So if we've lost a few stone, the same amount of calories might not have us in a deficit anymore. Or if we've downregulated our activity levels, maybe our output isn't as high as it was initially. This is a part of the weight loss process. And then we need to look at, okay, if I'm truly plateauing, and when I say plateau, I mean like weight loss has stalled out for like more than 2 weeks, and we still feel like we're consuming the same amount of calories, then we need to look at a few different things. Okay, have my exercise levels changed? Have I changed how I'm tracking my calories? Have I changed how accurate I've been with tracking my calories? And like if we know that everything is exactly the same, the amount of calories being consumed is the same, the activity output is the same, then we think, okay, then I've plateaued for like maybe like 2-3 weeks. Maybe I need to change something here. Maybe I need to look at bringing my calories down a little bit, or maybe I need to look at bringing my exercise output up a little bit. We also want to consider that we want to use other metrics other than the scales to make those decisions. We want to look at our body measurements, our progress photos, how we're feeling, how our energy levels are, how we're performing. All those things need to be factored into account. Don't make a knee-jerk reaction and bring calories down because you think you've plateaued. Often when people think they've plateaued, they haven't actually plateaued. They maybe haven't been as consistent with some things, making them think they've hit a plateau. Next thing we want to consider is our lifestyle and our compliance. So consistently sticking to a weight loss plan involving like a diet, involving like calorie restriction of some sorts, involving exercise, it is challenging. Like it's challenging to be consistent. That is probably the hardest part of weight loss, is being consistent. And sometimes we'll deviate from our we'll deviate from our plan. And maybe sometimes we'll, like, more alcohol will creep in, or more eating out will creep in, or more takeaways will creep in, or more socializing will creep in. Or we just, like, get a little bit lazier with our exercise. Sometimes that will happen subconsciously. Maybe, oh, we, like, kind of started just picking a little bit more while we're cooking, and we're not tracking those calories. And that can mean that we're consuming higher calories and in a smaller calorie deficit than we initially had been, or than we think we're in. And that can slow down our weight loss progress. So we have to check in with ourselves every now and again. If things are slowing, has something actually changed here? Have my actions changed that have led to this? And there's always a reason. If something slows, there's always a reason. Either it's down to our compliance, down to how we've changed our lifestyle, or it's down to the fact that we've lost a lot of weight and our actual, like, metabolic rate has slowed down a bit as a result. So to overcome these challenges, it's really important that we set realistic goals initially. It's really important that our expectations are in the right place, and we're not deciding what weight loss is a good rate of weight loss based on Sheila down the road, or based on what we see in a magazine. It's important that we're patient. It's important that we focus on making sustainable lifestyle changes rather than expecting rapid weight loss. Because similar to if you were just handed €1 million right now, or you won the lotto, you wouldn't have developed the habits to be able to manage that money in the same way that someone who built the skills to earn that money and built the skills to manage that money. Same goes as if someone just snapped their fingers and the 3 stone they wanted to lose was gone, they wouldn't have actually built the skills and the habits to be able to maintain that weight loss over time. So it is better to work on building the habits and routines into your life that allow you to lose weight in a healthy, sustainable way, because then you'll be better equipped to actually maintain it for the longer term. And if you're struggling with this whole process, get some help with it. Like, sometimes we feel like we have to struggle on our own, or that it's a weakness to get help. But if I didn't know how to do my own accounts or file my own taxes, then I think it would be quite silly for me to say struggling with doing that for years and not just seek the help that could help me do that a way faster and a way more easily and without the struggle. So get some help from someone if you're not sure on how to do it. Obviously, we help people lose weight very successfully and sustainably. So if you want help from us, reach out to me on Instagram, Clara Sullivan_coaching. Or if you know someone, a nutritionist or a coach that you trust, that you know puts out good information, that you know does things in the right way that resonate with you, like, don't be afraid to reach out to them and ask for help and see what the process would look like, and see if that can help you get to your goals in a way that's a bit more suited to you and a way that doesn't involve maybe the struggle that you've been having up to now, if you have been having that. Or maybe this podcast was just what you needed to realign yourself and understand things a little bit better. And if it is, I couldn't be happier. So thank you for joining me. I hope that was helpful. Like I said at the start, if you're enjoying the podcast, give us a review and hit subscribe, and we'd appreciate it so much. And I'll catch you all in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Clara O'Sullivan podcast. I hope you are enjoying it. If you are, please make sure you hit subscribe and drop us a review, and we will catch you in the next episode.